Count. Yes.
I don't know.
You know. Like this, you know.
Oh.
Two ears, two eyes,
okay.
Nostril, mouth. Then all the these are called Navadvar. No, no, not Kamakrodha.
I was thinking.
They are not holes. They are what flows through the holes. Yeah.
You said that after you get sannyas, you become fit for unlimited joy. I want to know what is the feel of that unlimited joy. Can you describe it a little?
No, no. First of all, you have to understand, as soon as a person becomes fit, automatically he doesn't get. He becomes fit to receive the instruction, so that first part is Sravana, to hear, second part is to think deeply about what the teaching, and third part is, last part is to go on contemplating on that truth until our whole being vibrates with that intense yearning for that highest truth. So that is, then a time will come, suddenly the limitation, you just as it were enter into that unlimited thing, and that cannot be expressed. It cannot be expressed, because how can you understand the unlimited through the limitation? You see, it is like, you know, say, how does the whole outside world look like? You are living in a room with just a peephole. No, every one of us have got peepholes. That's why we are all peeping to atoms. So, you know, whenever some person comes, how much of that person you are able to see? If you want to see the whole person, then what do you need to do?
You have
to completely open the door. So if you are living in a room with a small window, like prisoner's window, there is a beautiful story, you know, very, very beautiful story. There were many prisoners in a dungeon, in one room, and there was a small hole. There were some fortunate prisoners. One of those fortunate prisoners was placed at a place on a cot, from where there is a small window and he could see the outside world. So there was a fellow by his side. The rule is that they can't exchange the places. So they have to, whatever place is given, they have to be there 24 hours. So the other fellow is very depressed. Then this person who was near the hole is a very wonderful person. He said, "Don't worry, whatever I am able to see, I will describe it to you so graphically. You will see through me." So every day he was going, "You know, now the sun is rising. How beautiful it is. The birds are flying. The flowers are blooming. Beautiful mountains you can see. And the springs, water is coming down." And day after day, in different ways, he used to describe these changing seasons and all those things. And this prisoner who was listening was transported in joy. And he was praying to God, "Oh Lord, when do I get the opportunity to enjoy these things?" So it so happened, after several years, this man who was near the window, he died. The warden removed his body, and the next promotion, that man who was by the side, he was promoted to the window. Then he looked out and he saw there was a big wall in front of that window. He could see nothing. Then he asked warden, "What is this? This man is describing so many wonderful things to me." Then the warden explained to him, actually that man was a blind man. But in his eagerness to make the other person happy, he is making up these beautiful things and describing it. This is a story with a moral to say, it is not where we are, But it is our attitude of mind which can make us also happy, which can make others also happy. What a beautiful story. So, don't even put the question. Why? Because not to speak of what is the nature of the unlimited happiness, we do not even know what is the highest happiness available right in this world. Yeah, so many things. You know, suppose there is a singer and his ustad, classical singer, and how much joy he gets through his understanding of this music. How can we ordinary people understand? For us, you know, when he sings and the voice is nice, the expression is nice, it gets all the, we get all the emotions, but that is all we can enjoy. But that person, he understands, he enjoys real deep happiness. When we don't have access even to this kind of happiness, what to speak of this unlimited happiness? That's why I told you, no, that in event, one man came to me, Andhra fellow, and Swamiji, your talk was, he attended my talk, wonderful talk. I have a question. So I asked, who are you and what do you do? He said, I am a spiritual, deep spiritual aspirant. How much time do you meditate? I meditate for about 5 to 7 minutes a day. So what is your question? So what is the nature of samadhi? You know, we are also putting this type of questions. We don't have even concentration of mind. Where is the question of meditation? What happens when the kundalini rises? You know, we put questions which we are incapable of understanding. Even if somebody is capable of answering, we are not capable of understanding. Unless our understanding, see, the information can be given. But the understanding can come only through some type of experience. A man who tasted any type of sweet can imagine what is the taste of a first class rasagulla. A man who has never tasted any sweetness, how can he? Otherwise, he is like that blind fellow who wanted to know why the child is crying. Then he came to know that mother is trying to feed the baby and that is why the child is crying. Remember?
No.
Memories, you know, memories. There was a blind fellow, born blind. And one night he was walking in the street begging food. He heard a child crying, you know, furiously. So his heart melted. Why is the child crying? He asked a neighbor, passerby. He said, oh, the mother is trying to feed him milk. So he doesn't want to drink milk. So he is crying. So what he now, this man being a beggar, never tasted milk in his life. Imagine. So he asked, what is milk? The passerby was also a wonderful man. Milk is a white liquid. He knows liquid. What is white liquid? So what is white? He said, white, don't know. It is the color of a crane. In our sadhi crane. So what is a crane? The passerby put his hand like this. Feel my hand. And he felt the hand and said, no wonder the child is crying. Our trying to understand these questions is like that. That's why it's a pravruti is a necessary path. You cannot get rid of this pravruti. As Thakur says, unless a man is reborn right from the state of a pariah to the state of an emperor, has tasted the pleasures at least one in his life, only he will get vairagya. More or less it is true. when we go through the all the gamuts, from the lowest happiness, pleasure to the highest pleasure this world can offer to us, having tasted this, then we say, okay, no, you know, what is the law? Is this, once you taste a pleasure, rest of the time it is only repetition. Once you have eaten one rasagulla, you are eating everyday rasagullas, is no different. It's only repetition of the same. Once you know, hey, you have the knowledge, this is the happiness of a rasagulla, the rest is only, it is a repetition, is it not?
Recount that experience in the mind.
No, no, it is the same experience. In every two experiences do not add to your knowledge, which is not strictly true. You eat one rasagulla, that experience gives you one knowledge. You eat 20 rasagullas, that experience gives you a different knowledge. No, in general, repetition of the experience doesn't add to our knowledge. Anything is only to be experienced once. And that is the knowledge. That's it. So, how many things, how many sense organs we have?
Five.
Not only that, you also have to understand it in a deeper way. Suppose you know sweets, a whole catalogue of sweets, jalebi, rasagulla, and all those things. But if you have eaten even jaggery or a bit of sugar, then you have practically gained the experience of knowledge of every sugar in this world. So once you have seen something, the rest is only a repetition, whatever may be the scene. Once you have heard something, whatever you experience thereafter is only a little bit less sweet, a little bit more sweet, shapes, nama, rupa is only different, but everything is same. So we have been experiencing these, you know, five types of things, and rest is only a repetition. Is it not true? But, you know, the desire, the attachment doesn't leave us there. But a time will come, then we say we want more. So, if we haven't experienced the higher type of happiness in this world, then how can we understand what is the unlimited happiness?
That would explain the need for several births.
Inevitable.
Before one even would want the
yes,
one.
Yes, 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 inevitable. That is why Hinduism says, before even a creature has attained to human birth, how many times this person is born? 94 crores of times are like that. There seems to be some truth in it. I am a believer in that. You know, evolution. What is evolution? Yeah.
Swamiji?
Yeah.
You know, if you, you know, we are all very, very low students, but if you see somebody who is even much, much lower and like really having a miserable life,
yeah,
what is our responsibility in terms of bringing that person to satsangs and just talking even, forget bringing satsangs, they may not even want to come, but do we have a responsibility or it shouldn't even be our responsibility?
If we want Sri Ramakrishna's answers, none of us have any response. That is a big word. Responsibility is not ours. Responsibility is God's. But for our own good, we have to attempt to do something so that we can be helped. That is the teaching of Sri Ramakrishna. Because you see, it is otherwise the philosophy becomes hypocritical philosophy. No, no, it is his karma. So why should I do anything? This question was put to Swami Vivekananda. If somebody is suffering, according to the Hindu law of karma, then that person's karma had made him suffer. Then why should I try to help him? Swami Vivekananda said, if his law of karma, past actions brought him to this state, your past actions have brought you to this state where you are in a better position. Therefore, if you want to maintain that better position, you better go and help the person, because that is what you did in the past, that is why you are in this better position. So the law of karma also is another point, Every karma has every cause can only bring out its own potentiality. There is nothing called the seed is this much and the effect is eternal. So if you have donated 5 rupees, then the good karma phala also will be only worth 5 rupees. So if you exhaust all your past karma, the results now, if your credit card is not topped up, your cell phone is not topped up, then it stops functioning. So good karma phala is topping up the cell phone. Perfectly logical,
Yes.
So it is for our good, that is the idea, not for the good of the other person. If I do good to the other person, that will make me a happier person, a better person, that is all. So what is the law here? The law is, you can only take the horse to the water, you can't make it drink. So if you go on helping a person, yes, you will give him food, clothing, education, etc. But if he doesn't want to become a better person, there is nothing you can do. That's why in the psychological instances, and this law is there, that a psychologist is treating the patient. The patient will turn a new leaf, the first thing that he has to do is, or two things he has to do is, he must have absolute faith in the doctor that he is able to cure me. And for that, to do that, before that, he should know, accept himself and say, I have a problem. I have a problem. This person is capable of helping me get rid of this problem. Only when that day comes, then the cure starts. Until that time, it is only to make that person realize there is a problem and I am your friend, I can help you. So the receiving part, giving part, you can do. The receiving part, yes. Sri Ramakrishna used to say, if an electric wire is broken, so both parts must be clean. The giving part, the part from where the electricity is flowing, and that wire which has to receive this air by connecting, if that there is any obstruction there, mud or impurities, however much you connect, it won't work. So that, if you understand that, then what happens is, I can do my best. Rest is up to the other person. In any case, it is only doing it for my own good. But if you are thinking you are doing good to that person, then you will be completely wrong.
You mentioned that the Purusharth is dharma, artha, kama, and you said that all three should be there in order for enjoyment to happen.
Yeah.
But and you mentioned dharma, I need a clarification for that word, because to my mind, if there is karma, then there cannot be mental peace, because you are constantly attached and you are worried about losing it. Even if you are consuming, you are like, oh, but tomorrow I won't get it.
No. There comes a time when we understand that without dharma, no happiness is possible. I also discussed the 4 stages of human evolution: karma, dharma, nishkama karma, and moksha. So ordinary people, we will do any karma, but we will only get enjoyment. But through our experience, to our regret, we very soon learn every type of karma doesn't produce happiness. Only certain types of karmas produce happiness. When we learn that one from within, then we will not do what is adharma, unrighteousness, balance. And then kama is there. Nobody is saying kama is not there. But that kama, we also understand. Supposing you have diabetes. Until that time you have been eating sweets, unlimited number of sweets. Once you understand you have this problem, what would you do? Or limit them severely, or you automatically do that. That is, you have the, not that your desire for eating sweets has disappeared, but you understand now that it will only give me more pain than pleasure. So you automatically you apply dharma there, right? Yeah. So this is the law. It is not, they are not, dharma and kama are not opposed to each other. Still you can, in fact, our scriptures, what they say? They say, if you have kama, then the only way you can fulfill kama is through dharma. Yeah, because the desire, we are free to desire. But to get the object of our desire, what gives the object of our desire? Dharma. Dharma gives artha.
And through artha we get
kama. This is a wonderful idea. Try to understand that. In this class only, I have expounded that for such a length of time. So dharma means balance. Dharma means right path. Dharma means, the right understanding. Dharma means, enjoy everything in a disciplined way, limited way, all these things.
So for a dharmic person, is there attachment or not? Is moha, is the attachment there or he's not attached? He's okay with, not renouncing but at least limiting.
Yes, see what happens is, without attachment there is no kama. Kama means what?
Yeah.
Attachment.
But that's kind of where I'm getting stuck.
There is no need to get stuck. You can have attachments provided you have antivirus. Dharma is that antivirus. So I'm not joking. This dharma provides for your artha and kama. Both. But kama without dharma absolutely leads to destruction. We have to understand that clearly. Yeah, that is what scripture, you want to enjoy in this world, be dharmic. If you want to go to heaven, be dharmic. Dharma alone can give happiness. And this also we discuss, suppose a person by stealing, by killing, he acquires wealth, or many people do it. That doesn't automatically produce, because there is no dharma. There is artha, there is kama, but there is no dharma. That is, his mind knows that I have killed people. Do you think his antaratma doesn't know that? And do you think he can suppress it? He can never get happiness. It is not possible. Yeah, it is never possible. It is impossible. Yeah. Yes, we are coming. You know that the dharma, if you give 5 rupees dharma, then you will get how much result?
5 rupees.
Yeah, there was this fellow, and miserly fellow, he went to heaven. And Saint Peter, he was knocking, the door was closed. Saint Peter was there inside, he went on knocking. Saint Peter opened the door. What the hell do you want? He said, I want to come into heaven. And Saint Peter asked him, have you done any dharma? He said, yes. Once I gave a rotten cucumber to one old beggar woman. So Saint Peter said, hey Gabriel, bring one rotten cucumber.
You go back.
He came out.